She said, "Tom, guess what? You've been selected as a Hall of Famer," and I just was shocked. I was proud, I was happy.
Few people have spent 33 years at one job. I'm almost 26 years old for reference, but Tom Anderson isn't most people. That's how long he's been the head softball coach at Iola Scandinavia. He has over 440 wins in that span and just won his first state title last season. I speak with Anderson about his whole career, his passion for the game, and what keeps him going in year 33. You're listening to the WSAW Highlight Zone Podcast. I mean, you've been the head coach at Iola Scandinavia for now 33 years. Does it feel like it's been 33 years?
Well, some days it does, some days not so much. I enjoy it. I enjoy it. And I have great assistant coaches, so it, like I said, some days it feels like 33, other days not so much.
When you started back in 1990, what is it, 91?
91 or 92, yeah.
Yeah, when you started back then, did you think that it would go 33 years?
No, nope. I, not even a real thought. I thought maybe my daughter graduating 2007, I thought, well, I'd coach through my daughter. But I kind of kept going on beyond that. So
you knew it was going to be the long haul, though, right?
Yes.
For a while. Yeah. Why don't we talk about those early years? Kind of what got you into softball in the first place and in coaching?
Well, I was hired at Nisita in 91, and the coach there, Carol Kubicek, was looking for an assistant coach, and I'd never really even knew anything about softball. I played slow pitch and a little bit of that. But she kind of got me into it. And then I was at Nisita for 1 year. I was her assistant coach. And Iola had a fifth grade teaching position along with head coach or head softball coach. And I took it. I was excited to take it. I figured I had 1 year in. I knew everything. And I thought it would be easy, but you know, it was a learning experience. Trust me.
What was your background in sports?
Well, I graduated from Waterloo High School. I was I lettered in 10, 11 different sports. I was mostly cross country, track, and wrestling. And I did play summer baseball. And I was always involved. All my buddies were baseball players and basketball players. So I had a wide variety of experience. And I was never very athletic that way. Running, I did okay. But basketball and baseball, just I didn't quite have the talent. But I absolutely loved watching it and being part of the teams.
Did you realize that you wanted to coach while doing that?
I think so. You know, my first coaching desire was basketball. I thought I was going to be this Bobby Knight basketball coach and Dick Bennett and all that. And I soon quickly realized I wasn't, you know, I mean, I liked it. It was just kind of intense and stuff like that. And so softball came around. And at that time, they were just happy to have a softball coach. And it didn't really matter. At that time, my knowledge was very limited. So I didn't have any parents yelling at me or anything like that. So everything was good.
What was the learning curve with softball?
Oh, quite a bit. There was pitching, you know. I can remember our first practices where I spent very little time coaching pitching. I just sent the girls over to the corner of the gym and I said, why don't you just start practice throwing and stuff like that. I kind of trusted that they knew what they were doing and along with offense, batting, and stuff like that. I knew limited batting stuff, but I watched videos and went to clinics and stuff like that. So I learned as I went, and my knowledge through the early years, you know, I gained some knowledge that way.
Yeah, you kind of had to be the student and the teacher, right?
Exactly.
Did the girls teach you quite a bit as well?
Oh, sure. Yeah, they knew. they knew probably more than I did. I learned it from fellow conference coaches. We still laugh at some of the rules that they were calling me on, you know, pitching. There were certain rules that you couldn't do. And of course I didn't know anything about it. And all of a sudden the umpires tell me, hey, your pitcher can't do that. And of course now, you know, now they can. So the rules have changed a little bit with pitching and stuff like that. So things have changed. And I look at like the bat limit, you know, our bats, when I first started, we were using 27, 28, 29 ounce bats, which in this day is just super heavy. Mm-hmm. I mean, the girls today use probably 21 ounce bat and 22 ounce bats. So it's incredible how the technology and the equipment has changed.
That being said, yeah, I know you were learning about softball on the job, but how much were you falling in love with the position of coaching and teaching these young women how to play softball?
I absolutely loved it. As I was going on, I mean, it went so fast. To think that I've been doing this for 33 years, it's been crazy fast. You know, I coach my daughter, like I mentioned earlier, and you know, it's just crazy how fast it's gone.
Mm-hmm. How long did it take you to really feel comfortable with the game of softball and the rules and everything that came with it?
Oh, I don't know if I even still feel super comfortable. I mean, I'm always learning new things, going to clinics. I still watch. I mean, my goodness, we have so many good softball programs in the area. You know, with Stevens Point, we have Clover League, and we got Ann Molsky at Pacelli and Tom Droner at Spash. And, oh, I mean, I used to go to their games all the time. I don't go as much, but I still go and I still learn. And going to the state tournament and watching all these great teams and coaches, I'm always picking up little things that I see here and there. You know, not so much pitching wise and batting wise, but just mm-hmm. how they handle their teams and all the things that go into, you know, organizing a team.
You talked about talking to some coaches back in the day, kind of learning the game of softball. Are there any particular names that come to mind that were really influential in your early years?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Glenda Smith from Tigerton. Glenda, you know, Tigerton's probably a school of about 100 students, and mm-hmm. she won two state titles a while ago. But mm-hmm. she certainly, I mean, we battled. I mean, when I first met her, I didn't like her very much, because she always, every game, it always seemed like she was calling me on a rule here or a rule there, and the umpires loved her, and they gave her every call, and of course, I'd get mad and grumble and stuff like that, so it was, but Glenda and I battled, but now we've become very, very good friends, and I, you know, very good friend, and she was actually our team sponsor or team representative for the WIA when we were at the state tournament the last 2 years. So we've become good friends. Tim Pedersen used to coach at Amherst and won a state championship or two, or has been to state. Tim, I've learned an awful lot from him. Again, he's become a very good friend. But a lot of the conference, you know, we have some up and coming coaches, and just always learning, talking, picking things up. So, yeah.
Yeah. When did the success start to come at Iola?
Oh, man. You know, I've been very fortunate that, you know, I can't tell you how many losing seasons we've had, but it hasn't been very many. Mm-hmm. You know, usually we're right around 500. But sometimes we've done better than that, you know. And so we've always, I think, always had a pretty good winning program. And I've been fortunate with the girls and the you know, being athletic enough and having softball knowledge. So I've been fortunate that way to have some good players and some good athletes.
What have you learned over the years, especially being someone who didn't have a softball background coming into the sport? What did you learn about leading players in any sport, not just in softball, but just leading a group of players to a common goal? What have you learned about that over the years?
To be flexible, you know, to adjust on the fly and things like that. I know when I first started, you know, coaching girls, you know, people would say, well, how can you coach? I absolutely love coaching girls. These young girls are just, they're eager. As long as you treat them with respect and you, they're willing to work hard. They're willing to do everything possible to impress you, to gain some playing time and stuff like that. So I've really enjoyed it. When I went to girls, when I girls softball, I've just enjoyed it. I can't say enough good things about them. We have had very few issues over the years regarding anything, you know, coaching girls. To me, they're just athletes, ball players.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And I know you talked about having success kind of consistently throughout the years, but you're at 440 wins right now, and still counting. You might be above 440 now with this year, right? Are you at 450?
We've only got one game in, so I think I'm above 440. Yeah, something like that.
You're approaching 450 wins, though. It's getting to a bigger and bigger number. But correct me if I'm wrong. You got your first sectional title just a couple years ago, right?
Correct. Yes. 22.
What was that feeling like to break through and finally get to the state tournament 2 years ago after all those years that you lost in four different games before then?
Yeah, it was incredible. You know, my coaching staff, I'm very fortunate. My assistant coach has been with me 22 years or 22, 23, 24 years, something like that. Mm-hmm. So we've been together since 2000. And so we've always kind of had this goal. Didn't talk a whole lot about it because I always feel there's so many darn good teams in this area that to break through and win that sectional championship is tough to do. So, but I was always hoping, and we had that darn COVID year in 2020. I thought going into that year, that was supposed to be the year we'd gotten beat 19 by Michigan, and they went to the state tournament. I don't think they won it that year. But the next year we had everybody coming back, and I just thought we had a good team in 2020. Of course, got canceled 2 weeks before the season started, and I thought, oh no, there's my chance. And then of course in 22, or 21, 22, we made it the sectional championship again and broke through in 22. And that was fantastic. It was when we won and our third baseman caught that pop up to end the game. And my assistant coach and I kind of looked at each other and we were just stunned. I think it was just silence. We were just looking at each other, smiling. And of course we hugged and all that kind of stuff. So it was fun.
How much different was that feeling compared to just any normal win from the previous 30 years?
Well, of course, it meant a lot more. I mean, I've had so many good players. And again, that first year we went to state, my emphasis was, you know, I was really for the players that we've had in the past. I mean, I couldn't talk more about the past players because we've had some pretty good teams and I've had some really good softball players on the team and just either fell short or just it was just never meant to be. So when we finally got through in 22, to me, that was for all my past players. I said, we finally made it. We finally got to that. We finally got to our goal. And it was really a great feeling.
So you get there, you lose in the first game. Did you think it was going to happen again?
No, I never go. I truly never go into the season thinking that because there's, and I found out even after last year when we won it, there's so much involved in it to get there and to get the breaks. And we have a talent, like I said, we have a talented team. That didn't surprise me. But as I look back at all the games, our sectional final game against Algoma, we were down 1-0 in the top of the seventh inning. And we came back and we had two outs in the top of the seventh inning and our leadoff batter, Jalen Sievertson, hit a home run to tie it. Mm-hmm. And then our second batter, our pitcher, Maddie Muck, she's a left-hander, and hit a slicing line drive down the left field line and hit it inside the park home run. to put us up 2-1. We ended up scoring one more run. So we're up 3-1 and held on to a 3-2 victory. So we had so many, I don't want to say luck, but we had so many breaks break our way, and so many things happen, you know, and a strike call here, a ball call here. And it's just so much of that's involved. There's just so many little things that you need to go ahead, go your way.
Yeah. And I think in my perspective, that would almost make it more, because it's more difficult, to make you more, a little more appreciative of being able to actually achieve that, to have all the breaks go your way. Is that kind of what was going through your head last year when you guys put up 7 runs in the final inning to come back and win?
Exactly. That was incredible. You know, and again, I wasn't resigned to the fact that we were going to lose, mm-hmm. but again, we had to get to that. We had like the bottom half of our order, bottom third, and we had to get to the top of the order again to maybe make some things happen. And boy, the bottom of the lineup came through, whether they got on an air or drew a walk or even got a hit. I think our ninth batter dribbled a little comebacker to the pitcher, and it just wasn't, she was fast enough to beat out the throw. And it was just incredible. It was just crazy. And then we got to the top of the lineup and we got a couple girls, we got a couple girls on and of course then Brooklyn Barons, our freshman mm-hmm. catcher, hit that line drive down the right field line, bases loaded, inside the park, grand slam home run to give us that lead. It was crazy.
How proud were you of the team?
Oh, I was incredibly proud. And if you didn't know, there is a backstory there too. Yeah. I'm originally from Waterloo.
Oh. So
playing Waterloo in the championship game, we were the 4 seed, they were the 3 seed. And I know their coach. I actually, as I was finishing up college at Whitewater, I was their assistant JV basketball coach for 1 year. So I knew Deb Brotz from Waterloo. And so there's a little background there. And of course, playing against my hometown in the championship game, it was kind of neat, special, and ended up being real nice for me.
Did it feel a little full circle for you?
Oh, it did. Yeah. Yep. It was real nice. It's quite the experience.
Uh-huh. Did that feel fitting to knock off Waterloo, your hometown team, to hoist your first state championship?
Yeah, it was nice. You know, again, I would have loved any other team. You know, if Waterloo would have been there any other time, I'd have been cheering them on and backing them on. And, you know, I still get the local newspaper, and I still read about them every week in the paper. And so I'd have been cheering them on big time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was nice. I was glad we won, and I'll take it that way. And, of course, I got a little bit of air. Bragging rights, because a few of my buddies have relatives that were, you know, daughters that were on the team and stuff like that. So it was nice.
Back when you started with this program back in the early 1990s, not 1900s, that'd be a long time ago.
Yeah.
did you ever think you'd get to that point where you're winning a state title?
No. I'm just not that way. I mean, you know, I have other friends who, you know, they just, no, I just wasn't. I just never thought. I knew we ran it. We always tried to run a good program, a classy program. We tried to do the best we can. And we kind of just said, what happens, happens. We'll take what we get. And to make it that far and to actually win the championship was extra special.
What was going through your head during that whole moment?
After we won the game?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Again, just unbelievable. I was stunned. I was happy for the communities of Iowa and Scandinavia. I was happy for Waterloo, you know, because again, mm-hmm. being part of that. So I had kind of, you know, both sides of the coin there, and I was happy for them. It was a beautiful day, and, you know, everything broke our way again, and it was fun.
Yep. Now this team's got to move forward from that. You guys lose, what, 6 or 7 seniors from last year's group?
We had 5 seniors that started, and then our pitcher, Maddie Muck, was our junior pitcher. She unfortunately tore her ACL.
Oh, man.
So we won't have her this year. We'll have to go on without Maddie. But she would have been, she, and plus her bat was incredible. Mm-hmm. So we will certainly miss her. So, but thank goodness I do have a second pitcher, and Julia Munoz is our senior pitcher now. She hasn't seen as much, what I would say, tournament pitching as Maddie did. We have a good group of sophomores, but not a lot of playing experience. And so they're going to have to learn. So I kind of see our season where it's going to be just a learning process throughout the season. Hopefully by tournament time, maybe, you know, maybe we can do that same thing and kind of put things together. Our conference is so tough. You know, I look at our sectional champion or our region, or take that back, our conference championships, and we haven't won a whole lot of conference championships. Mm-hmm. We won one in 2019, and then I don't even know when before then. So we've won more regional championships than we have conference championships because our conference is so tough. So it's really hard. So I think by the end of our conference season, regular season, we've been tested. And so by the time we hit tournaments, hopefully we're kind of, we know what we're doing, and those younger girls have gotten the experience, and hopefully we can put something together again. Mm-hmm. We shall see.
And I know, you know, you don't come into this season thinking, hey, we're the state champs, and you don't have that big head. I'm not saying that. But, like, how do you, as a team, move forward from last year and treat this year as a new year?
You know, we've talked very little about that. I'm kind of like you said, this is a new team. We lost, you know, six pretty darn good ball players that were a major part of that state championship team. So, but not to say that the cupboard's completely bare. You know, we have some good players, but again, they have to, you know, they'll have to learn and learn from each game and go on from there. So we shall see.
Mm-hmm. When you look back at your career so far, what would you say you're the most proud of?
Oh my goodness. Let's see. Probably most proud, you know, the last 2 years making it to state, how many emails and text messages I got from former players. That was cool. That was, you know, I got text messages from players I hadn't heard from probably since they graduated, or emails. So that was really, that was fun. And getting inducted into the Hall of Fame, I got a lot of messages there too. And so that was real special. That was probably what I'm most proud of, is that so many of these girls that I've, now they're young ladies, I'm even coaching a few of the daughters that I had way back in my 91, 92 season. So I'm coaching their daughters. So that's been real neat and special.
Mm-hmm. We haven't even talked about that yet, your Hall of Fame honor. How much did that mean to you to get inducted into the Fast Pitch Coaches Hall of Fame here in Wisconsin?
That was a surprise and very special, you know. I've gone to the banquet. I've seen so many coaches, and there's so many coaches out there deserving of it. And when I got that call last October from a good friend of mine who's on the WFSC board, and she said, "Tom, guess what? You've been selected as a Hall of Famer." And I just was shocked. I was just stunned. I was proud. I was happy. And again, thinking back to my assistant coaches and thinking about who all made that possible. And again, I go back to the players and my assistant coaches and the communities. I've been very fortunate that way.
Would you say that's your most proud achievement in 33 years as a coach?
Oh, I don't know. That state championship's pretty sweet. I'm not much of, it's nice. The Hall of Fame was nice, and it was good. But my goodness, I'll take that state championship any day. And getting to state way over the Hall of Fame, no doubt about that.
I was going to say, I can't say I blame you there. How long do you think you're going to keep doing this?
Oh, my. I don't know. You know, I keep looking. I have friends. I got girls in fifth, sixth grade that are eager to, you know, they're getting our autographs and the players of our autographs of the players on the team last, you know, at the state championship. And I keep seeing all these young girls coming up. I don't know. I All I can probably guarantee is this is a few more years, but we shall see.
A few more years. All right, I'll hold you to
I'm not
that.
going to pin anything down, and maybe, but we'll see.
For
I
sure.
enjoy it. I'm retired. All I do is I coach now. I'm not a teacher anymore. As far as fifth grade teacher, I always say coaches are teachers. I enjoy it, and I like coming to school and seeing the kids. It kind of keep me young.
Maybe he's going for that 500th career win. Like we talked about, Anderson was inducted into the Wisconsin Fast Pitch Coaches Association Hall of Fame in February. And the most important thing, he still loves his job. That's all for this episode of the Highlight Zone podcast. Take care.